Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off, and he went out again around noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you, or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, good evening, everyone. I just breathed a sigh of relief. I couldn't find my homily earlier. Well, it was stuck in the booklet, so I've got it. When I read the scriptures, I find that the scriptures is like going to the ocean. The waters can be very deep, and it's hard to fathom just how big the ocean is. I mean, you stand there at the seashore, and as far as you can see, all you see is ocean. In sometimes in almost every direction. And you know that even as much as you can see, that's only a tiny, tiny bit of how big the ocean is. And we might look at a globe or think we can understand, but I think it's difficult for us to really understand just how big it is. And it seems to me that oftentimes when we come to the scripture can be like that. The Bible is a finite book. You can hold it in your hand. But oftentimes when you read it, you will go, "Wow, I never thought of that before." And I find that over and over again when I go to the Bible, there's so many ways that you can read into it or interpret or to hear God speak to you in maybe even just a new way. I started learning this early on when I was just a baby priest. The pastor, he had been a priest for a very long time. Occasionally I would go to him and you know, run my homily by him just to make sure that I got approval. And I would be surprised when he would say, "Oh, I've never heard of that before." And I would think, "What, really? You've been a priest for 50 years now. How could you not have heard of this before?" But I think it speaks to how deep the gospel, the scriptures really are. And this gospel passage is one of those readings. As I was doing some preparation for the Mass, I was looking and I found so many very different commentaries on this little parable that Jesus said. And I even had an insight at my last Mass while I was distributing communion that was something new that I had never had either. And I hope that you've had that experience yourself. I hope that you, from time to time, we'll open your scriptures and read the words that God has inspired there and find that God is always speaking to you through the scriptures in new ways. So before we begin, I wanted to give you a little bit of a historical background to this parable. This is a very real parable. The people who heard the parable would see lots of imagery in it from their lives. And so you have these people who are standing around the marketplace. and they're waiting to be hired. Well, it doesn't take much of a imagination for us to see that even here in Phoenix. Just go in the morning to Home Depot and you will see people standing on the streets waiting for somebody to come by and hire them. And so these were called day laborers, and oftentimes they could be very desperate. You know, I heard one commentary say that they were more desperate than a slave. A slave may not have made money, but at least he had a meal every day. He didn't have to worry about where he was going to sleep. The slave's life was pretty regular. But a day laborer, sometimes he only got paid enough money just to make it day to day. And for a day laborer not to get hired could be devastating. It could mean that he or his family, his children, didn't get to eat something that day. And so the landowner, when he goes out at the end of the day, he's actually surprised to find that there are still people there. And one of the surprises is, I mean, how many of you, if you were a day laborer, would be standing around all day to the very last 1 hour left of the day? Who's possibly going to hire you at 5 o'clock if quitting time is 6? So he was surprised to see that they were still standing around. And I think it speaks to maybe their desperation, that they really needed something. They really needed somebody to hire them. And so when the landowner asks them, you know, why are you standing around idle all day? He said, nobody has hired us. And so it speaks about their desperation. I think it also speaks to the generosity of the landowner, that he sees that need and that he wants to help this family. Maybe he's thinking of their wives and children. The parable also speaks to a reality of what it means to work in a vineyard. I don't know if we have any wine snobs here or wine connoisseurs, but if you know anything about harvesting grapes, there's a short window, isn't there? You have to get the grapes in quickly. You have to let the grapes ripen to a certain point on the vine. There has to be enough sugar in the grapes. But then when harvest time comes, you have to get them all quickly. If you wait too long and the rains come, you could have moldy grapes and you could ruin a lot of your crops. And so there's almost a sort of a frantic desperation to get all of the laborers together and to harvest the grapes. I was recently watching a video on Netflix about how they make wine, and sometimes they organize like a year in advance the whole labor force that's going to be needed to harvest the grapes in the short period of time that they have. And so here's this real story that Jesus gives, and then the purpose of the story is to show this inconsistency when the landowner comes to offer payment towards all of those who are working. And he makes a point of telling his foreman to pay the last first, you know? So in other words, he wants to make sure that they get the point of the parable. Because if he had paid the ones who had been there all day first, they would have left and never known what the last got. But he wanted to make sure that they would see. And they saw the last get a denarius, a daily wage. And so they were anticipating getting more because they had been there throughout the day. I can imagine how hot it might have been, the work that they put in. But those people who came at the last hour, the sun had already begun to set. It was already cooler, and so they thought it was only fair that they would get more. To their surprise, they find that everyone was paid the same, one daily wage, one denarius. I think it offends us as Americans, because we grow up in a culture where you think, you know, when we work hard, we bear the fruits of that. We get rewarded. And so it offends us, I think, on some level. But I think it's important to make a distinction between justice and fairness. The parable is a parable. Nothing was violated as far as justice, right? I don't think anybody argues that everyone got a just wage. Where it comes down to the road is, was it fair? And sometimes we might argue that it wasn't fair. But I will tell you that mercy is not fair. And so I think this is really a parable about God's merciful love, about God's mercy. And mercy isn't fair. Mercy is God giving you what you don't really deserve, isn't it? Let's say that somebody bumped your car and put a little scratch in it. Well, let's say they profusely apologize. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to damage your car. here's money, I'll pay for it, and I'll even buy you a beer on top of it for your troubles. So, you know, they've said they're sorry, they've repaired the damage, they've even given you a beer for your troubles. You would be unjust not to forgive them. So that's a matter of justice. But if somebody were to say, you know what, your debt is erased, go in peace, my friend, that would be unfair, but that would be mercy. That would be mercy. And so I think this parable speaks about God's mercy. And I don't know about you, but when I stand before God the Father, I would rather that he judge me with mercy than with justice. I think all of us, if we are sane, recognize that we could benefit by God's mercy. St. Augustine, when he read this gospel and this parable, he said that the denarius, the daily wage, is not really about money. St. Augustine said the daily wage is a symbol of eternal life, and that God gives the gift of eternal life, and he can't give you a partial piece of it. Either you're in heaven or you're not. Either you've got everything available to you in heaven, all of God's love, all of his mercy washing down upon you, all of this grace, or you're not in heaven. But he doesn't give one more grace or this in heaven than another. And so it's an offering of the same. And so the insight that I had earlier today when I had Mass this morning, as I was distributing communion, I had the thought that I'm giving everybody their daily wage. You know, one denarius for you, the body of Christ, you know. And even if I break it into a smaller piece, no matter how small the piece of host is, you've received Jesus, the body, blood, soul, and divinity. You've received everything. And so the good news about this is that God is full of merciful love. And no matter where you are in your journey, God is waiting to receive you, to allow you to receive him, but you to open your heart and to let God in. And so that happens sometimes to people early on in their life. Maybe their family has brought them, baptized them in church, and as a child, they have come to love the Lord. And St. Therese of Lisieux, she said that God sometimes shines his light on a soul for their whole life. And finally, they bloom into this beautiful flower. He said, but there are some souls that seem to be in the darkness for quite a long time. And then for a brief moment, God sheds his light upon that soul. And in that brief moment, that soul blooms beautifully for God. I think of some of the flowers that I've seen, like the orchid. Somebody gave me an orchid 4 or 5 weeks ago. It's still in full bloom. It hasn't changed. And then there's another flower, like a rose, that only blooms for a short period of time, and then it loses its petals. And so I remember when I was in the Army, and I had to do a clinical pastoral education. I was working in a hospital. It was a civilian hospital, but because I was in the Army, I got to wear my dress greens. And I had my little chaplain crest on. And the nurses said, go see this guy, John. He's obnoxious. He's really cantankerous. And so I said, okay, what happened to him? Oh, he had triple bypass surgery. So I went into the hospital room. I still remember he was sitting up in his bed, and he took one look at me, was surprised to see the military uniform, and then he said, oh, chaplain, you're too late. I said, too late for what? He said, you're too late to save me. Maybe if you had come to see me 15 years ago. And I said, let me tell you something, man. It's never too late with God. I said, have you read the Bible? Have you read the parable of the workers, where some of them have been working all day, and then one group of workers comes only for 1 hour at the end of the day, and they all got paid the same. And he was very crusty. He didn't want to talk to me. I said, well, I'll leave you be, but you need to know that you are at a turning point in your life. And you look down that road long enough, I think you'll know the right thing to do, because you're looking at eternity. And eternity is massive. You know, don't stand on your pride, your sense of pride, and think that your sins are greater than God's love. And so you're standing on the precipice of two eternities, two realities. One, where God embraces you with his merciful love, and the other, when you reject that. You may not say it to me, but after I leave, I just invite you to open your heart and say, God, I want you. I want you in my life, and I want to ask for forgiveness. And the good news is that that kind of mercy is offered to each one of us. And that's really good news, that it's never too late for a soul to be brought to God. When you think of the good thief who was crucified with Jesus, he admitted his guilt. And he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all it took. The light, the heavenly divine light shone on him for a brief moment. And in that brief moment, that soul bloomed into a beautiful flower. And Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. So it's good news for each of us because we all have a chance. We can still get there. God's merciful love is still being offered to us. But the good news is also that we're invited to participate in the work of salvation. We're invited to go into the vineyard that belongs to Jesus Christ. And just like those grapes needed to be harvested quickly, I don't think anybody can deny that when you look at the state of the world, there's a lot of harvesting that needs to be done. There's a lot of going out and bringing souls to Christ that needs to be done. And so each one of you is invited to do that. Each one of you is invited in some way, shape, or form, whether it's in your family or at your workplace, or maybe even in the context of a parish ministry. We all have something that we can do to contribute. And we see the desperation of the landowner going out even at the very last possible moment, trying to bring people into the vineyard. And so if Jesus feels that sense of desperation, then as his disciples, we should feel it as well and want to bring souls to God. I was talking yesterday with a friend of mine from seminary, Father Lucht. He's from North Dakota, and he told me this beautiful story. It's funny, but it's also very serious, but it's about everybody contributing. And so the story was about a man who lived not too far from a Catholic church, and he called the priest one day, and he said, is this the father? Yeah, this is the father. He said, well, I finally decided I'm going to come into the church. I'm going to become a Christian. He said, but there's a couple of things that we need to understand before I do that. One, don't expect me to come to Mass every Sunday. You know, sometimes I might want to sleep in or watch a football game or do something else. Or, you know, I'll come when I come, okay? Number two, don't ask me all the time for money. You know, I'm uncomfortable with the whole idea of tithing anyway, so don't count on me for giving you money all the time. Number three, don't ask me to get involved in the ministry. You know, don't ask me to do anything for the church. I'll just come on Sundays when it's convenient, okay? And so the priest said, well, you know, this parish probably wouldn't be a good fit for you, but there's a church on the other side of town. You should check it out. It's just what you're looking for. So he said, okay, what's the address of that church? So he gave him the address, and the guy wrote it down and hung up the phone. He drove over to the other church. It was boarded up and had a fence around it. If everybody thought like he did, there wouldn't be an open church because we'd have to board everything up. And so the good news here is that each of us has opportunities. There are people out there, maybe it's their last day on planet Earth, who haven't heard that God wants to be in a relationship with them, that God loves them, that God wants to invite them into this beautiful eternity of heaven, and to think that they might miss that opportunity, they might miss the opportunity to come into the vineyard and receive that denarius, that daily wage. So the good news is that no matter how far late they are, they can still come in. But the good news is also that Jesus invites us to participate in the life of the church, and to use our gifts, our talents, to be involved in a ministry so that we can be part of bringing the harvest in for the Lord. Amen.